Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. House hasn't blown away yet. Pool hasn't flooded.
So far, so good. There's still storms out there.
Well, then it's the peak of hurricane season, I guess.
It is.
Because we tend to get them much later in the season than, I guess, past years.
Well,
Maybe global warming has something to do with that.
I would say climate change, but like everybody's saying that don't exist. So how do I argue with that?
Yeah, exactly.
I guess you just got to wait for your house to blow away and then be like, oh, whatever. Because it's not like you're going to get FEMA to come help anymore.
No. Well, I do live in a red state, so maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll have to see. It's certainly in a exciting world we're living in.
Oh, that's one way to put it. I would really like to change timelines if I could. I don't know how we do it, but like I don't know who I have to send a form into, but I would like to switch.
You find the door in the library, in the den, and go through it.
Yeah.
And then you find all these doors.
And then I just got to pick the right one.
And pick the right one, yes.
So I'm assuming that you saw the new episode of Peacemaker, the episodes of Peacemaker that we missed.
Yes.
So a couple of cameos in the past 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
A rather large cameo 2 weeks ago where Lex Luthor showed up.
Right.
James Gunn had mentioned that like the way that he got a bunch of these people to be on the TV show was to shoot stuff on the weekends while they were filming Superman. And
yeah,
I am assuming that cameo, the guy that helps Lex in Superman, that's, I think Mr. Terrific knocks out towards the end of the film. He shows up this week. And to me, it looked like they filmed that while the set was under construction for Superman of Lex's like little control center.
Yeah.
Because they take him into this big empty room and like you can see that they were building parts of the set. And then they were just like, oh, we'll use this for Peacemaker. And like it's being reconstructed now. So it was a little weird, but we had talked about a couple of weeks ago where, you know, at that point, Peacemaker had gone through the door and had left a note behind saying, like, this is the perfect world. I don't want you to come get me. And the gang at the end decides, well, we got to go get him anyway. And last week's episode was interesting because they all go to get him and right. What okay, I don't know any other names besides Peacemaker. So the black chick decides that she's gonna go for a walk in the new area because it's a beautiful day, which I thought was a little bit contrived to get her out of the house, but okay, whatever. And the end twist to that season or to that episode where Hardcore goes to get Peacemaker at Argus and she starts asking questions about like, have you noticed there's no people of color around? And Peacemaker goes over and unfurls a flag and it's got a Nazi symbol on it. And, at the same time, the black chick starts getting chased because, quote unquote, one of them got out. It was really a weird ending to the episode.
Right.
But it turns out that Peacemaker is in, I forget, I think it's called Earth X. and Earth X is where the Nazis won World War II. And everybody's a Nazi. And like, what a weird thing to make canon into the DCU. So this week there was this very subtle, like, well, unsubtle, not subtle, whatever the overt, where they're standing in Argus and Hardcore asked Peacemaker, like, didn't you notice? And he was like, do I look like I notice anything? She's like, the Mein Kampf on everybody's desk. And he was like, do I look like I read? And then she was like, the big mural of Hitler on the wall. And he was like, oh, yeah, I guess I should have noticed that. It was just like, even though the content kind of feels relevant now and really kind of like would have hit different just a couple of years ago. The way that James Gunn writes this stuff just is really well done for the subject matter. I mean, I don't know if you're digging the episodes or not, but like, you know, he thinks he's found this and he's so sure this is the perfect life that he's not paying attention to anything else. And the fact that the what were they called? The Sons of Liberty, the quote unquote terrorists that he took out in one of the previous episodes were actually good guys trying to stop fascism.
Right.
But since the government is a bunch of fascists, they're viewed as the enemy. And it's like, oh God, that just hits so close to home today. Like, it's just so weird. What did you think about the episodes?
I really liked it. I like the, like, I didn't see the twist coming.
No, I don't think anybody did.
And I was almost wondering if they were going to do it so that this world was part of what ended up being like very boring for him, because like everybody was like really nice and he was, you know, he was being worshipped as a superhero and his dad was there and his brother was there and,
yeah,
you know, something had to go wrong. I did not have Nazis on my scorecard.
Yeah. It's
but then who does these days?
Exactly. It's so weird to because as soon as Harcourt says in Argus, she's like, haven't you noticed that there's no people of color here? It makes everybody who's watching the series go, we've been in this reality for a couple of episodes now and nobody's noticed. Like, there was nothing online about like, it's like a white world. Where are all the people of color? Like, nobody said anything because everybody was just fell for it. It was very strange because all of a sudden it hits you and you're like, wow, okay. That's a little weird.
Yeah. But effective.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, they definitely, like, you know, used it to their advantage.
Yeah.
We've only got one episode left?
Yeah, there's only eight this season.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what how they wrap it up. Or does it lead right into one of the movies and, you know, do a Marvel thing?
I don't know if James Gunn will do that. I know that he was... No? That because there was a connection to Superman in this series, he jumped the gun with releasing Superman digitally so that people could see it before Peacemaker. But I don't think going on because that was one of his big complaints, is that you had to see everything in order to enjoy like any of the other stuff in Marvel. So I think he wants the DCU to be different than that.
Yeah.
So hopefully, while I think it'll set up a season three for Peacemaker, I don't think we're going to see Batman. I don't think we're going to see Superman. I think the cameos are kind of done, and like, this is just going to be about Peacemaker being arrested and where it goes in the future. What else did you watch this week?
I watched Only Murders.
Yeah.
I really like Tia Leone's character.
Okay.
But damn, her face is pulled so fucking tight.
Yeah, she's a little plasticky.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, somebody stole the finger.
Yeah, and I love that they keep giving wacky shit for Steve Martin to do. Mm-hmm. That it just keeps getting weirder and weirder. Like, he's met this woman online, but they're only sending pictures of like close-up body parts so that they don't know what each other looks like, and then he's wearing like an earring, and like, it's just getting goofier for him, but it works within the context mm-hmm. of the story.
Yeah.
You know, that they have like,
I still like
the robot doorman now.
Lester too.
Yeah, and they even replaced in the opening, it used to be that dude walking his dog or his cat or something, and now he's mm-hmm. walking with the robot.
Right.
Like, all kinds of weird little Easter eggs. Everybody's just having so much fun in their roles that it's nice to see like that kind of camaraderie in a TV show. Mm-hmm. There doesn't feel like there's any egos, almost. Like, they're just there to have fun.
And especially with the star talent, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, Meryl Streep is so funny in this.
Yeah, and you would think that, like, somebody of her caliber would be, like, a little bit demanding or whatever, but she just seems like she's having so much fun.
Mm-hmm. The only person in the cast I can't stand is Beanie Feldstein.
And who
She's the influencer.
Oh, okay.
The
yeah.
And she's Seth Rogen's sister.
Oh, in real life?
Yeah.
So, okay.
No.
So,
no, wait, not Seth Rogen. Jonah Hill?
Jonah Hill.
Okay. Oh, now I'm confused.
I mean, she makes a comment about knowing Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen. Jonah Hill's her brother.
Jonah Hill, okay.
Yep. Oh, prior to this, she played Monica Lewinsky. Oh. In Impeachment, American Crime Story.
Oh. Okay.
Maybe it's my whole distaste for influencers in general.
So what you're saying is that she's doing a really good acting job?
Sure. I wish Diane Wiest had more to do in this.
Well, she might coming up. There seems to be something going on with her. I don't think you cast her without expanding on her character towards the end somewhere.
Right, giving her something really juicy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like she's like it's gonna end up that she's like the crime boss or something.
Hmm. Okay.
And that like, you know, just like she'll end up being the mastermind somehow. I don't know. I hope I didn't just ruin that for myself. But you never know.
Yeah, I mean, this one's coming to an end too, so.
Yeah, we're on what, episode 7?
7? 6. This was 6.
And there's 10 of them, so we're more than halfway through.
Oh, okay.
Very weirdly, on IMDb, even though it hasn't been released yet, episode 5 or episode 9 of this season has a really high rating.
What?
Yeah, it's got a 9.5 out of 10, and it hasn't been released yet.
That's weird.
But apparently this episode is told through the lens of the robot.
What, number 10? Number 7.
Episode number 9.
Oh, number 9?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, weird. I've never seen that before. I've never seen an unreleased episode have a rating before.
Maybe it shows you how fake the ratings are.
Maybe. Or there's advanced copies out there that people are rating it for some reason.
Maybe. I don't know. What else have you watched?
I watched a couple of episodes of the new season of High Potential.
Oh, I forgot that was starting.
Yeah, it's still as good as it was.
Yeah.
I think they're on episode 4 this week.
I gotta catch up.
The first two episodes of the season are basically the resolution of season 1. It almost feels like, I know, what's her name? Olsen.
Yeah.
I know she had some commitments and they had to kind of cut the season short, but this feels like this probably would have been the end of season 1.
Oh.
But they just, okay. They just started it off instead. And I haven't watched episode 3 yet, so I don't know if you know, there's different, like, if tonally it's different just because it might be, like, new writers or whatever.
Okay.
But still good. Still recommend it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to catch up. I'm going to have to catch up.
I've watched a couple of movies this week.
Did?
I watched the movie Weapons, which was...
Okay.
Came out...
And I'm kind of intrigued by that movie. I saw an extended clip of The Ant.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There's something going on there.
It's supposed to be a horror film. Like
right.
if you click on it on IMDb, it's considered a psychological horror film. The trailer is nothing like what the movie is. Like, there's a there's a promise in the trailer that never really gets fulfilled in the movie, but it's a really good film. And as far as like horror, there's only a couple of things in it that are like, I'd consider like gross or like horror-esque. It felt more like a psychological thriller than anything else to me.
This is the one where all the kids disappear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's a, I won't spoil anything for you if you think you're going to watch it. But I would, if the clip interested you, then I would probably say go ahead and watch it.
Okay. It felt very American Horror Story.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's definitely some influence from American Horror Story. And you've got Han Solo was in it. Thanos is in it and Silver Surfer's in it. So, you know, lots of Marvel people.
Is showing it? Up. Okay.
I also watched a rather old film that has Chris Evans in it called Push, which is a kind of a, takes place in a world where superpowers kind of exist, but it falls into different abilities. So there are people that can kind of see the future. There are people that have like telekinesis powers where they can like move things and set up kind of like not force fields, but like they can generate pushing fields. And there are people that are really strong. There are people. So, and this took place right before, no, actually it was right after Chris Evans did the Fantastic Four movies and before he was Captain America. So it's not quite like Chris Evans is like of this big built dude, but he does have like these superhero abilities. And it's an interesting movie. It all takes place in like Japan or China or somewhere, some Asian country. And, it's told in an interesting way, more than just like your standard superhero film. Like there actually feels like there's consequences. So that was an interesting watch for sure. And I think I watched that on Amazon, but the reason that I watched it when I did was because it was leaving. So I don't know where it would be found right now.
You know, I don't understand the whole idea of people purchasing the rights to broadcast something on streaming for a limited time.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, and this is only on Amazon for 3 more weeks. And then in 4 weeks, you can find it on something else. And I don't get it. I don't understand the business sense behind it.
I think it has to do with, I don't understand older movies for sure, but like, I think with the newer ones, I think it's a matter of like, we only have a certain number of subscribers. We're going to give this to you. We're going to let you have this movie for a certain amount of time. And then we're going to go over to Netflix, or we're going to go over to Paramount, or we're going to go over to wherever, because they're going to give us a bigger chunk of change for this movie. And it's going to sit there for a little while. And like, it always goes back and forth. There's always things that pop up in my Amazon, not my Amazon, in my Netflix list that will reappear after a certain amount of time. And it's like, oh, okay, they got the rights back. And as a matter of fact, there weird. Was that that Halo TV show that they did on Paramount Plus that they just mm-hmm. released onto Netflix. And apparently it's like a top performer at Netflix right now. And like on the internet, they were being like, you know, this is part of that thing of like, you're only going to get so many people that's going to subscribe to Paramount Plus for a Halo TV show, as opposed mm-hmm. to these, all these people that already had Netflix that were like, oh shit, like, hey, there's this thing called Halo now, and let's watch it. And they seem to be getting a better result from that just because Paramount Plus was like, well, we're not going to make any more of this. So we might as well give this to another, like make money off of it by sending it off to Netflix. Mm-hmm. So it's all about money at the end of the day. I really don't understand when Disney Plus got rid of like the Willow show, and not just like,
right,
you know, we're not going to make any more. They took it off the streaming service. Like, mm-hmm. what does that buy you? Like, you've already spent that money. Like, you're not going to get any new subscribers from Willow being on the platform, but you might get some rewatches on it. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's engagement on your platform. So I don't quite understand when they just totally get rid of something.
Yeah. It's a weird algorithm or whatever. I don't know.
What else have you watched?
Did we talk about Fantastic Four?
I know I had mentioned seeing it, but I don't remember.
Well, I did see it, so it must have been last weekend.
Okay.
I liked it. I liked the style of it. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
That whole 60s futurism kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if Galactus was the best villain for their debut.
Yeah, it's got to have something to do with them having to get the Fantastic Four to 616.
Right. Well, and they couldn't do Doomsday, you know, Dr. Doom, because obviously they're saving that for another movie.
Right.
But I really liked it. I mean, I thought it was well done. I thought it was, you know, I mean, it was another summer popcorn flick.
Yeah, I guess my biggest problem with the film was it was very predictable. It was very by the numbers for Marvel. And at this point, however many movies in, I think it's just so hard to be original when they're trying to stick to the formula.
Yeah.
But as soon as they come back from meeting Galactus the first time, and Reed gets the idea of all these different like portals or whatever, I immediately was like, they're all going to fail. There's only going to be one left. And that was like 15 minutes before it ever happened. And I was like, as soon as they all went down, except for the one, I was like, all right, I know what kind of movie I'm watching then. Like, they try so hard to do something new, but then fall right back into, this is going to end with people punching each other. And sure, the only way that we're going to win this is together. And we've got this one hope, and oh, look, we were able to get it done. It's very Marvel. It's very formulaic. It's very, you know, and I think that's what a lot of people have this burnout on, is the fact that I'm able to call that you know, 30 minutes before the end of the film. And, you know, there's no excitement. There's no, if Sue had died, like for real, I would have been like, holy shit, that is an amazing, like, leap to take for, you know, the first Fantastic Four film. Or, you know, Franklin gets abducted and is never seen again. Like, that would have been an interesting ending. But it's all, hey, we did it. We're all, now we're the Fantastic Five. And it's like, oh, okay. So,
yeah, I don't, and I'm not sure that Silver Surfer was all that interesting.
No, and Silver Surfer's really not in it at all. I mean, right in the beginning and then at the end, but like, you know, he was a major player in the second Fantastic Four movie that came out like a long time ago. And I just think it's too big of a character to waste like that.
Yeah.
Like Galactus felt like a waste at times.
Yeah. I mean, Galactus felt like the end of A Cabin in the Woods.
Okay.
Where like the Titan kind of just wakes up and destroys the earth.
Yeah. And there's all kinds of theories online that because Galactus feeds on planets, he knew that Earth had a celestial in it from whatever that horrible film was.
Eternals.
The Eternals. And that that's why he kept coming, was because he knew that that would be a good source of energy or whatever. But they don't say that in the film. And I'm a believer that I shouldn't have to read 18 things online to get context. That should have just been in the film. Especially with something as interconnected as Marvel. So I don't know. I think all in all, I think out of the two Marvel movies this summer that were, Thunderbolts and Fantastic Four, I kind of feel like the Thunderbolts was a better constructed movie.
Oh, definitely. I mean, because Fantastic Four almost felt like they weren't going to acknowledge the rest of the Marvel universe. This was taking place on a different, you know, a different world.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it felt like they were like, oh, hey, you know, we're not going to have those little winks and nods about, you know, tying things in and referencing other canon. And it was just kind of like, nope, this exists by itself. And if it totally tanks like She-Hulk, we'll never see it again.
Yep.
I mean, even Pedro Pascal didn't really have that much to do. He was kind of one-dimensional.
Yeah, I mean, the Thing and Johnny are the stars of this film. I think their interaction, which was, I will say, was refreshing, because I think every other portrayal of the Fantastic Four is those two are very adversarial against each other. And this is, they were very much like brothers. They were very much, you know, kidding each other and getting on each other's nerves. But in the end, they were able to, you know, come together and fight as a unit. But yeah, I mean, Sue and Reed and even Franklin are almost the side characters in this, which is weird, because like Pedro is supposed to be the face of Marvel moving forward. And
yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know. It kind of felt like they, by pigeonholing them in their own specific universe, that they lost a lot of opportunities for like those crossover moments.
Yeah. I mean, even if they had done something where, like, there were different versions, and I know that there's that little thing in the beginning where they talk about, oh, it's been a year since the Fantastic Four showed up, and here's all the people that they fought. But if they had done their version of a couple of the MCU characters played by the same people, mm-hmm. like, I think that sure. would have gone a long way to be like, okay, they're not alone in this. And there are definitely, like, versions of a Captain America or any of them.
Right.
But it was just so, this is the Fantastic Four. These are our heroes. This is who we're depending on. Like, yeah, what's his name? Stingray from Cobra Kai, who played the
Mole Man.
Like, if he had come out at the end and been like, we can only beat this dude together, and gotten his forces to help the Fantastic Four, I would have felt a little better about that ending. Mm-hmm. You know, because they were trying to bring the world together to fight Galactus, but in the end, it just had to be the four of them. So yeah. I liked the film. I really did. I know it doesn't sound like I did, but, like, there were a lot of problems that I think could have been helped if they didn't just follow the Marvel formula.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have been better. Because at least in the Thunderbolts, there was the whole thing about, like mental health and how that, you know, metaphorically, like, eats at you from the inside, and Bob is the embodiment of, like, the mental health crisis, and it wasn't about beating the void. It was about helping Bob so that Bob knew that he wasn't alone. Was a more interesting ending to me, even though, like, we're trained to think that Marvel films need to end up in people punching each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, but weirdly, on the flip side of that, like, I think my favorite movie of the summer, though, was Superman, which ends in people punching each other. So, like, you know, I just think it's Marvel fatigue almost. And I think,
well, we're so oversaturated in it.
But at the same point, like Superman was like stepping into a comic book, where the MCU is the comic book stepping into reality. And
right.
I think after however many years it's been of the MCU of being in our reality, and this is, you know, we're just living in a superhero world, of being dragged into a comic book that where, like, all of this stuff is going on, that, like, it was just a refreshing look at the superhero genre. And, you know, I want more Superman. Where, like, mm-hmm. the next Marvel film, I'm like, do I really need to go see that in a theater? So,
yeah,
I think it has more to do with Marvel. I mean,
they've all gotten very gimmicky.
Well, yeah.
It's all incredibly gimmicky now. It's like, do we really need Robert Downey Jr. as Dr. Doom? There was nobody else they could cast.
Well, I think they think that Downey is the way into another billion-dollar movie. And for the amount of fucking money they're paying him, he better fucking deliver. Because they gave him, like, a jet, and they gave him, like, all this money and for him to come back, and I hope he's the key to whatever this is. If this really is as large as they think it's going to be, I think it's going to be a combination, because they're bringing back a bunch of the heroes that everybody likes. And, you know, the Russos know how to tell a multifaceted story with a bunch of characters.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think the standalone Marvel films are going to suffer from the fatigue of being so formulaic that, you know, people can just look at it and be like, all right, this is what's going to happen. So, yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I had read from James Gunn was like, the Clayface movie is going to be nothing like Superman. The Clayface movie is meant to be a horror film in the DC universe.
Okay.
I'm not stepping in to make it a DC film. It's going to stand on its own. And then we will, if we're going to incorporate Clayface into Batman, we're going to figure out how to do that by like not really changing his character to fit the new thing. He like it's going to be the same tone up for this character within the larger DCU instead of everybody trying to do the same thing because that's the way, you know, Marvel works or whatever. Yeah. So I don't know. I have a little faith in James Gunn that he's going to like kind of carry this through because Peacemaker is nothing like Superman and Suicide Squad is nothing
not
like Peacemaker.
All.
So like he's done really well with like tonal shifts and keeping the humor and keeping the things that need to be in there for, to make it an interesting film. So, you know, I've got kind of big faith in James Gunn here more than I probably should.
All right.
I mean, and James Gunn comes from Troma, so, like, he knows cheesy fucking horror films.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
I also watched a couple of other movies.
Yeah, what'd you watch?
One of my favorites.
Okay.
The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension.
Oh, okay.
It is so mired in 1984 from the bad special effects and the makeup and the heavy synth soundtrack. And
oh, come on. That scene at the end where they're walking through the LA River...
Uh-huh.
It's for the,
that's awesome.
For the
that's classic. Credits.
That's amazing.
Of course it is.
There's a young Jeff Goldblum in there.
I didn't Weller. Say that I was against any of those things.
I know.
Because those were my formative years.
I know.
I
love the film, Daniels. Too.
Yeah, Daniel Stern and Alan Barkin and, of course, John Lithgow.
Yep.
I mean, it almost had Jamie Lee Curtis. She played his mother in a flashback.
Oh, and that got cut?
And it got cut.
Okay.
It got cut. Yep. Yeah, and just the whole premise that there was... actually an alien invasion that happened in, what was it, 1940 whatever, War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, they got to Orson Welles and they brainwashed him to make it look like it was a fake, you know, a fake story, and all of the aliens are Rastas because that was the only channel they were getting.
Yeah.
When they were listening to Earth.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a really cool, weird little movie.
Yeah. If anybody hasn't seen it before, it's not a straight up science fiction film, even though like there's a lot of weirdness in it. You know, Peter Weller's character is like, he's like a celebrity like he plays in a rock band mm-hmm. and like, but he's also known for this institute where like they're doing all the science stuff, and it's a very different type of 80s sci-fi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, John Lithgow's performance alone.
Yeah.
It's just so out there.
Christopher Lloyd's in it.
Right, Christopher Lloyd with hair.
With hair, yeah.
I'm like, when you see him these days, and it's like red hair.
Yeah, I may have to rewatch that because it's been a while.
Still remains one of my favorite movies. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. Because they premiered the trailer at the first con I ever went to.
Oh.
And we got Buckaroo Banzai headbands.
Damn, you're old.
Which I still have. So, yeah, I watched that. And then I watched a really horrible movie. I'm not even sure what I watched.
Okay.
It's called Space Truckers with Dennis Hopper, Stephen Dorff, Charles Dance, and Debbie Mazar.
Oh, damn.
And it's just horrible. I don't know what I watched. It's like Dennis Hopper is like one of the last space transport entrepreneurs. Okay. And he gets forced to carry a suspicious cargo to Earth without asking any questions. And it turns out to be like a bunch of like killer robots.
Okay.
I mean, for a good three quarters of the movie, Debbie Mazar and Stephen Dorff are in their underwear.
Oh, okay.
And it's just weird. I thought, like, well, this cast isn't too bad. George Wendt is in it.
Yeah.
Really weird.
I'm looking at pictures on IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dennis Hopper pretty much did any movie they put in front of him, didn't he?
Apparently.
So this is 96. That's got to be either right before or right after Speed. And he does Space Truckers. But then again, this dude, mm-hmm. Dennis Hopper was also the dude that did Super Mario Brothers. So,
yeah.
Yeah, he really, like, they just really, what do you, whatever money they wanted to give him, he was just like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Maybe he's like Richard Kind. It's like he just does everything he's offered.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. Debbie Mazar is in her underwear a lot.
Yeah.
It's funny looking at like pictures.
This was after Speed.
Okay. You still there? Oh, God. Damn it. Restart the thing. All right. We're back. So we were talking about Dennis Hopper doing Space mm-hmm. Truckers. Yeah, I mean, he did, towards the end of his career, he really did a bunch of stuff. And looking at, like, the visual effects of Space Truckers,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to imagine that 2 years later, Episode One comes out.
Yeah.
Very weird. How did you find Space Truckers?
It was one of those, because you watched Buckaroo Banzai, oh. You might like this.
Okay.
And they were wrong. but yeah.
Wow.
Did you watch anything else? I started to watch the last season of Upload.
Yeah.
And I'm just not into it this season. I don't know if it's been so long between the last season and this one, because I kind of don't remember a lot of it.
Yeah, I think they need to start doing some serious, like, previously ons for a lot of this stuff. Because when it becomes a couple of years between seasons, there are things that, like, I'm just, like, I watched the first episode, or I started to, and I was like, yeah, this just I don't remember any of this anymore, and, like, I think I turned it off.
Yeah. I think I watched the first two episodes of this season, but yeah. I'm not gonna invest any more time into it.
I mean, I really feel like they really, like, 5 or 6 minute, like, previously ons.
Sure.
For a new season, just so that I don't have to rewatch it all and be like, oh, okay, this is what I missed. Like, that's the one time where I'm like, yeah, spoil the last couple of seasons for me, because I'm not going to remember. So, yeah. I mean, other than that, I didn't really watch anything else.
No?
No. We had an entire day where we didn't have internet, so didn't really watch. Oh, wait, what did I watch that day? The
Neighbors?
No. I watched the film that I was watching when we lost the internet. It was a Samuel L. Jackson movie. Samuel L.
Snakes on a Plane.
No. It was one that I had never heard of before, which is why I looked it up. Give me 1 second. Come on, IMDb. It was a movie from 2010. It's called Unthinkable. And it's him and Carrie Ann Moss and Michael Sheen and Stephen Root. And it's this story about Michael Sheen is a radicalized American-born, he becomes a terrorist and he makes these bombs, and it's Samuel L. Jackson and Carrie Ann Moss are like good cop, bad cop in the interrogation of Michael Sheen. And it apparently it went straight to video, but it's a really compelling movie, especially right now. You know, Samuel Jackson is like the seasoned torturer, but he's able to predict all of Michael Sheen's steps because of his past and having tortured people and stuff like that. And Carrie Ann Moss is the FBI agent who, you know, doesn't understand his methods and stuff. But it's a really interesting film, especially right now, that was made, you know, 15 years ago. But I get these little clips on YouTube on the shorts of, like, movies where, like, it's just a scene. And there was one where the FBI gets sent to Samuel Jackson's house and they're holding a gun on him, and he's like, put the gun down. And FBI is like, we're not going to drop our weapons. And he's like, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to her. And his wife has a gun on the two FBI agents. Uh-huh. And I was like, all right, cool. What's that from? And like, sometimes in the comments they'll tell you, and sometimes they don't. And they just happened to say that it was a movie called Unthinkable. And I was like, huh, okay, I'll have to look that up. But it's there is a lot of torture in it. So, you know, if you don't like that kind of stuff.
My day-to-day is usually torture, so.
Well, Well, yeah. But that was the only other thing I watched.
Oh, okay.
You got anything else for this week?
Have you seen the new AI actress?
I've read about it. I haven't seen anything from her, though. I know there's lots of controversy in Hollywood right now about her.
Yeah. Her name is Tilly Norwood.
Okay.
And she got called out by, of all people, Mara Wilson from Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay.
So it seems like they've just combed the internet for all these performances by actresses and created a new homogenous character.
That's so weird.
It's like, that's really scary.
Well, I mean,
with everything else going on in the world,
we have reached the point where you can't trust anything that you see in a video anymore. You know, I watched some video the other day where they were talking about how good the AI generated shit's becoming, and they're like there's this whole movement of like dead celebrities posting new videos. There's like one of Michael Jackson like doing something online. There's a video of Ronald Reagan opening Pokemon cards that looks completely real. And they're like, you cannot trust anything that you see. Everything that you need to verify with your eyes in real time, anything that you see online, you have to take as entertainment now, because there's no way to tell. And it's fucking weird.
I mean, I do still like the ones where you see somebody's got like seven fingers, or their feet are both left feet.
But they've corrected all that so that you can't tell anymore.
Yeah, that's kind of frightening.
The only way that you can really tell now is if there's text in it. There will be misspelled text in whatever, because the AI can't generate like properly worded sentences and stuff in the videos. So like, if somebody has something written on a sign, or they have something written on a t-shirt, there's usually spelling errors in it. But they're going to fix that too. And then where are we? I mean, it's the same reason that people think that fucking Portland's on fire, because people are making AI shit.
Right.
And it's not true.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know what to do about that. Like, it's super weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we're at like the beginnings of Terminator.
Yeah.
And not in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, once AI, there's no way that an artificial intelligence that's hooked into like military systems doesn't consider us a threat.
Oh, hell yeah.
So yeah, it's fucking weird. So
we did have a death this past week. Not really a actor.
Are you talking about Jane Goodall?
Yes.
Yeah.
She was an interesting character.
She was. I think I met her a couple of times where we used to work.
Mm-hmm. Did she do the hoot?
I don't remember.
That was like her big thing. It's like people would ask her to do the hoot.
Then I'm sure I saw her do it at some point.
Yeah, most likely. But I mean, what a way to go. 91,
yeah.
Natural causes.
Yeah, and in May she did an interview where she was like, I don't want this aired until after I die. Where right. She basically like, she badmouthed a bunch of people. She was like, hey, I don't know if you watched the entire thing, but there's a section where she's like, you know what I want? I want like all the really bad people to be put in a rocket in one of Elon Musk's rocket and sent to a different planet. And they were like, the interviewer's like, with Musk in there. And she's like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. He's the host. And then she's like, I want Trump in there. I want all of his supporters. I want, like all these bad people to be in the rocket and they can just go away. And I was like, all right, cool.
I mean, you mean like Katy Perry and Gail?
Maybe. So, yeah. Yeah, 91, I guess, is a decent run.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, you got anything else?
No, not really.
No? All right. All right, well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
You thought I wanted a piece of string?